Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, friends, earlier in the week, I discussed that I was listening to some music, trying to figure out where my true motivation came to start Lifestyles Unlimited and to make my life's work to be out there helping other people to change their life. And I wanted to be able to define for you what it is that I think you really need to consider in your life. What's important about what I have to say? I had somebody call me up the other day and he was berating me, saying, look, we don't all have to be millionaires to be happy. And I said, I've never said that. That's not anything having to do with what I said. What I said was that it's not the money. In fact, it's the lifestyle that's more important. And so I think that what happens, and the other thing the guy said was, not everybody has to own real estate to be happy. And I said, no, I've never said that either. I said, what is important is to take your life savings and invest it in businesses that make you money instead of gambling it into some type of speculative purchase that you hope it goes up in value, which is really gambling. So what I'm finding is people really don't truly understand what I'm trying to say. Not all people. Many people get it. I get 100 emails a week of people that get it and are happy to listen to it and to use it as direction in their life. But, you know, it's just that we need you to truly understand what we're trying to change in your life. And today I'm going to try in this first segment to share with you what the difference is. It isn't the money we're talking about. It truly is the lifestyle that's important. And the lifestyle that I've tried to present for the last 25 years is that of a balanced lifestyle. One where you have enough time in your life to be able to have health and fitness and family and church and friends and community, to have time for all that. But you don't have time for all that when all you do is work all day long, every day, and chase the almighty dollar. Now, for some of us, when we started out, or for many people, I get emails like this all the time. I got a really strong one today about, you know, I've been chasing the almighty dollar and I'm not even winning that battle. You know, no matter what I do, I just can't get ahead. And that's even sadder, obviously, that someone could work hard and not get ahead. But there are still other people out there that financially get ahead in their own mind. They're financially successful, but that I don't think are very happy. But I'm going to share something with you today that's even more important than whether or not you're happy, because it's not all about me, 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 and I. There's really something way more important than me, me, and I, and that's your family. So I dug up this song, which is one I used to listen to all the time, over and over and over again, and it almost brings tears to my eyes, because it so encompasses the way I felt as a kid, and it so encompassed what I turned into, and then it so encompassed why I worked so hard to get away from what I turned into and to change my life into a different direction and to make this my life mission to try to bring other people along that way. So I'm going to go ahead and share this with you, and I'm going to read the lyrics. I'm not going to sing it. I can't sing. The lyrics are from a song called Cats in the Cradle, and most of you have heard this song, so you know the music goes with it anyway. But I'm just going to take it. Let's try it now. My child just arrived just the other day. He came into the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking, for I knew it, and as he grew, he said, I'm going to be like you, Dad. I know I want to be like you. There it is. Think of that. What do? We're working so much that we miss our children's growth. We miss them growing up. We miss all of the little things in life that are so important, because we're just workaholics. It goes on, and the chorus is, and the cat's in the cradle, because no one else is there, and the Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue and the Man in the Moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. When is the time to have a good time in your life? It's always in the future, right? It's never right this minute. It's never spend today, this moment with your child. You can't. You got to get up and go to work. This is a work day, you know? And then you got to hustle and bustle and buy Christmas stuff. I mean, I was out in traffic yesterday trying to get in the mall. My God, it took me 2 hours to go 8 blocks. And it took me 30 minutes in the parking ramp to find a spot to park. Just crazy stuff. And then by the time I got home, there was the basketball game on. And, you know, you sit down, you pour yourself a drink and relax. And just go, man, that day's gone. Just another day gone. And so I stopped and picked up the phone and turned off the TV and called a couple different family members to talk to them. Because I realized just what I was thinking today, just what I was thinking yesterday, is that it gets away from you. Because you just let life happen to you. Now, the song goes on and said, my son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me how to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do, he said. That's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. And he said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, I'm going to be like him. See, your kids look up to you. And if you teach them to be workaholics, they're going to be workaholics. If you teach them to be alcoholics, they're going to be alcoholics. If you teach them whatever it is you say means nothing to them because you teach them by who you are. And if you never set the legacy of financial freedom, if you never set that down in your family, it will never get there. You're just sending off another generation to the world to do exactly what you've done. Now, granted, some of you are happy where you're at, but I don't think you're happy where you're at if you're listening to me. If you're listening to Del Wamsley on the radio, you want more out of life. And that more isn't just more money. Could be, but mostly it's more life. You want to put more life back in your day. And that's what I'm here for, is to help you do that. But to do that, you have to understand what you're doing that you're not even seeing. In fact, you might even be taking this concept too strongly and becoming a workaholic on top of a workaholic and trying to buy and flip and rehab houses and doing all this stuff. And I tell you, don't do that. That's not real estate investing. That's real estate working. And that's not what I'm about. I'm not about more work and I'm not about more money. I'm about working less and earning the same amount or working less and making more. That's what I'm about. How much more is necessary? You know how much more you want. Whatever you have, you want more. A dollar more, $10 more, $1,000 more. It's irrelevant. You understand that? It's truly irrelevant. So it goes on after the course, and the next paragraph reads, well, he came home from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? So there it is. The kid by college is already at that point. I've got 3 kids. And already for Christmas, they're all too busy to come. They're already all too busy to come. They've got their own little lives now. They're doing their own little things now. Whereas before, Christmas was this little gathering of the little munchkins and the presents and the excitement and whatever. But now, the lure of the presents, the lure of the Christmas day, that's not even exciting anymore because they've gone their way. They want the car. They just want the car. That's all they want. It goes on, the next paragraph says, I have long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and my kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. There it is. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. When I was a child, what I witnessed was my mother was a drug addict, pharmaceutical drugs. She was one of these people that thought she was constantly sick. She'd had every kind of illness that ever was. And really all it was a thing for her to get out of work, and she didn't want to do anything. She laid around the house all day long, smoked cigarettes, drank alcohol, took pharmaceuticals. But she was a brutal, brutal person when it came to my dad, because she thought my dad should support her in a life of luxury. And my poor dad just wasn't an aggressive guy. He was kind of a get along, live along, have a happy, go lucky time. He liked to dance. He liked people. He liked to go to parties. But she was brutal, and she didn't like any of that stuff. And she tried to make him into a workaholic. She forced him to take jobs that he didn't want to take, to move from city to city to get better jobs, to move away from his family. She forced him to work long hours. And so this guy, I could see him. I saw his life go out of his eyes, and I saw him burnt. And, you know, I was saying, I will never let this happen to me. But what's funny is I had the exact same thing happen to me. Because I guess you marry your mother, and a woman marries her father or whatever. But the bottom line was, this guy would work all day long, 6 days a week, come home, and just have a cocktail to get away from his wife. And eventually they got a divorce. In fact, they actually got divorced twice, and she talked him into getting back together. Or no, I think he talked her into it, because he wanted to be around the kids, and she took the kids, and he loved the kids, and she got him. That's the way the world works, or at least it used to. Maybe it's not anymore. But the reality is that I went with my dad. As soon as I was old enough to, I went with my dad. I went to court and said, look, I'm not going to live with this person anymore. She's insane, and I'm going one way or the other. Whether you give him custody, or I'm going to leave. And so because I was so adamant about it, the court gave my father custody. And so what I saw was he found a new wife, and the new wife loved him and took care of him. And he was able to relax for the first time in his life. And it was just a wonderful thing to see. But what he could not do was break the cycle of being a workaholic, because it had been drilled into him since he was a teen that he had to work his bottom off forever. Now, let's compare that to my uncle. My uncle was different than my dad. My uncle wanted to go out there and he wanted to be an entrepreneur. And so he purchased stores and bars and bowling alleys. And he did entrepreneurial things along with being a professor at a college. You know, he was a coach for sports. He did what he wanted to do in life. Whereas my dad just ground himself into the earth. Of course, my uncle's still alive. And my dad died many years ago. He worked himself to death. The day he died, he still worked every day. And it's so sad, because this is what I grew up with. I saw this happen to my dad. When I went out there and started working, my goal was to work myself to death so hard for a very short period of time that I could retire at a young age. And I was on target to do that up until October 20th, 1987, which was my birthday and something called Black Monday. And I lost a very large chunk of my funds because I was in speculative investments called the stock market, mutual funds, and so on and so forth. And so what happened was, when I lost a large chunk of funds, about 40%, by the way, it's on my birthday, so it adds insult to injury, I got irritated. I said, I'm not going to work another 12 years. I'd worked 12 years, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week to get this money. I had a lot of money saved up because I spent nothing. I lived on nothing, so I could save all my money. I invested in a way I thought was wise, how they teach you to invest. And then it was gone. I said, I'm not going to work another 12 years to get there. The whole plan was to work 12 and get out. And now I'm facing working another 12 years. And that's if the stock market doesn't kill me again. So that's when I decided that I'm no longer going to continue to do this same thing. I'm going to find another way to do this. And what happened was, is I quit my job and said, I'm not working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week anymore. And I went out and I did other things, worked for other people, did some other stuff. And finally, that company called me back and said, hey, we really need you back. You're our top performer. Please come back. I said, I'm not working 60, 80 hours a week again. Said, okay, what we'll do is we'll let you work 12 hours a day, 4 days a week. And I accepted that job. And even that, I think it's 48 hours. So you got to laugh at me that I'm sitting here going, well, I cut myself down from 70 hours, 80 hours a week to 48. I'm still a workaholic at 48 hours. But at least I had 3 days a week off, which allowed me the time to live. For the first time ever, I could live a real life. I could go out and do what I want. With 3 days, it's like a vacation. You know, how many three-day weekends do you get? Do you think, wow, this is an incredible vacation? Well, I was getting it every week. And then I realized people are wasting their lives away, constantly wasting their lives away. I said, man, what if I could work just 3 days a week or just 2 days a week or whatever? You know, this would be incredible. And I decided I was going to figure out how to do that. So I went out and looked around for different options, buying businesses, you know, the same stuff everybody does. You go out and look at franchises, you go out and look at different opportunities, and then you come across real estate. And, you know, there's like, you know, 20,000 different real estate gurus out there, and about half of what they're spewing is garbage, and the other half is work. And I didn't want all that. And then I found one guy that talked about passive streams of income. And that really made sense to me. He said, buy and hold these things as rental properties, let your tenants pay you for the rest of your life. I go, boy, that's really simple, isn't it? And then he came back and said, but guess what? You don't need to worry about all that taxes, tenants, and toilet stuff. There's a way around all that stuff. And he had a pretty good program, you know, to show you how to get around most of it, or at least enough around enough of it that you didn't feel bad about what you were doing. So I started in real estate investing at that point. Now, you have to understand, though, when I was in my 20s, I was working 12 hours a day and doing 3 hours a day of bodybuilding. I was working 15 hours a week. I was my dad. Now, I didn't drink back then. I didn't start drinking till after I retired because I didn't want to get any calories I didn't need for my bodybuilding. But I was beat. I was tired. I was worn out. And I got married to my high school sweetheart, and that relationship died. And it died for this reason. She had no desire, like my dad, had no desire to get ahead. And I, like my mother, was demanding success. And so I was demanding and driving the family, driving us, driving everything that we did toward success as quick as possible. And she didn't want it. She had no desire for it. She wanted a nice, slow, calm family life. And I had no desire for that. So we broke up. And I mean, I dated this girl for 5 years. And we just broke up after 1 year of marriage because we did not see the world the same way.
Now more intel from the files of Del Wamsley.
To have whatever you want in life, you have to help enough other people get what they want in life. I've said that for years. If you help enough other people in this world get what they need or want, then you can have everything you need or want in life. And people always tell me that's not true because they helped somebody once and it didn't make them rich. And I said, once is not enough. You have to help hundreds of people, thousands of people. And so a guy goes and buys a rent house, he does all the work himself and he efforts through it, and he finds out it doesn't really do him any good. Why does it not do him any good? Because more is not better. Better is better. And so when we go out and we have the wrong map of life, the wrong plan, what invariably happens is we effort and effort and effort and see no additional benefit in our lives whatsoever. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
There's a dream killer here somewhere today. You're gonna run into somebody that's gonna tell you this stuff doesn't work. Like Vinette said, it's a scam. This is probably a multi-level marketing program. Somebody is gonna tell you it doesn't work because you're the wrong race, the wrong age, the wrong sex, the wrong sexual preference, the something or other. And this is all set up so rich people can be successful and all you poor people can't. And if you believe that, they've won. But if you don't, you win.
Don't believe the dream killers. Start winning today with a Lifestyles Unlimited free workshop. Get the knowledge you need to replace your income in 2 to 5 years. And then find out how to take action. Register for the free online workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
I'm discussing why I started Lifestyles, what belief systems are really supposed to be being presented to you so you understand where we're coming from. And I also want you to understand where I'm coming from. The reason I'm so willing to dedicate my life to helping you is because somewhere along the way, I had a lot of painful stuff in my life. And somewhere along the way, I don't know how, I got by it. There was somebody there that mentored me either through books, learning, or whatever personal connections to great people, that somebody dug me out of this hole that I was in. So here I was in my 20s. I was working 12 hours a day, bodybuilding 3 hours a day, 15 hours a week. In this world, there's two types of people, those willing to work and those willing to let others work. And so I ran into a girlfriend that didn't mind the fact that I was gone all the time, worked all the time. It didn't bother her at all. She wanted me to make more money. She wanted me to be a bodybuilder. It was a crazy connection that here was a workaholic and here was an enabler. As the relationship went on, it got worse and worse and worse. At some point, I found out that she was just like my mom, that she was on drugs and that she was sitting at home all day long, drugging out. And so I got together with her family and we sent her to a drug rehabilitation center and she got over it or whatever. They said she was cured or whatever. But, you know, once you're an alcoholic or a drug addict, you're never really, you're just, you know, on the edge at all times. And so when she came back, somehow we got pregnant and now we're sitting there about to have a baby. Forgot to tell you this. When we found out that she was a drug addict, the way I found out was because my stuff started disappearing. And then one day I snuck behind her back, looked in her purse and found a bunch of pawn tickets. And she'd been stealing my TVs and my cameras and all the stuff in my house and pawning it so she could get money for drugs. So when she got back from the drug rehabilitation center, she said that was over. But now she needed a way to get more money because she wanted more money. And I was already working 15 hours a day, 6 days a week. There's no way I could get more money. So she decided to be a waitress because that's the only talent she had. She had lied to me. She wasn't a waitress. She was actually a dancer at a men's club. And she wasn't telling me she was making big bucks. She was lying to me, saying she was making $100 a night when she was making $500 a night. And what was happening was she had guys that were her favorites. And eventually she ended up running off with one of these guys. And so when that happened, I divorced her. And I made a decision right then and there that no longer am I going to be put to work by someone to be someone's slave for the rest of my life. No longer am I going to close my eyes and not look at what's going on in my life and not pay attention to what's going on in my life. And I'm going to start living life. And at that point, I started realizing it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. It's not the bodybuilding trophies anymore, it's the lifestyle. So I gave up bodybuilding. And I went out there and started buying passive streams of income. I started doing what I'm trying to teach you to do. Get your life back from corporate America. Get your life back from people that all want to tell you what to do. I'll tell you a little story. Guy comes in, 70-year-old guy. He's got a trophy wife that's about 48, 50 years old. But I mean trophy wife. This was just a knockdown, gorgeous woman. She had a little girl. This guy had married her after his second wife, his first wife, long time died. This guy only made like $40,000 a year, but he had amassed $1 million in savings. And so they were there because he wanted to make sure that when he died, that she would have enough money to survive. I said, well, she's already got $1 million. He goes, well, that's not enough for her. You don't understand that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This woman is putting you back to work at 70 years old? Because why? Because $1 million isn't enough for her and she's only been married to you for a year or two? I go, come on, man. I go, are you really telling me that? And he goes, yeah, I want to make sure she and the baby are okay. And when the baby was a kid, I said, okay, look. And it wasn't even his kid. That's what's funny about it. So I said, look, no problem. I'll go buy you an apartment complex and you'll make enough cash flow for her to live off the rest of her life, right? So he did. He bought the apartment complex and lo and behold, it made money. But that wasn't enough for her. Insane. They were making, I don't know, $10,000 a month cash flow. This guy never made more than $40,000 in his life. And now he's making $10,000 a month of tax-free income. And it wasn't enough for her. So you know what she did? She talked him into selling the apartment complex because they made $700,000 in capital gains. See, she was an instantaneous gratification disease freak. She wanted money, lots of it. She wanted it before he died. And she was afraid that if he died, she would have to know how to run a business. And she had no idea how to do anything other than to be a trophy wife. And so, you know, we're sitting here and I'm in pain with this guy because I'd gone through my pain with my wife. I'd gone through my pain with my mother and I'm in pain with this guy. But he just looked at me and shook his head almost in tears. Because there's nothing I can do. I love her. I want to do whatever she wants me to do. And I'm thinking, dude, you love her because she's 25 years younger than you are or 30 years younger than you are. I don't even know. But the bottom line is, dude, you only have so much life left. You need to live your life. You set her up, man. You need to live your life. So obviously after that kind of a commitment or of relationship between the two of us, the wife wouldn't let him come back anymore. And I lost him as a member. They made $700,000 out of the deal. That's not a bad little deal for them. Plus the cash flow that they had for the year or two they had the property. But see, what I'm trying to share with you is that there are people out there right now in your life that are going to want to drive you into working. And even if you could replace your income with passive streams of income, that's not going to be enough for them. They're going to want more, 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 more. And so when people call me up and say, well, you don't have to be a millionaire to be happy, I go, what are you talking about? Are you out of your mind? I don't say anything like that. I'm talking about getting your life back from that kind of mentality. That's what irritates the living bejeebers out of me, is that people not even listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying, don't work yourself to death. Don't go out there and flip houses and wholesale and work and work and work. Don't do all that. Don't work in your business. Work on your business. These are the principles that I teach that people aren't listening to. They want to hear what they want to hear, which is more money, more money, more money. How do I get more money? Well, if you're poor, I understand more money is the most important thing. Don't get me wrong. But that's not who most of my clientele are. Most of my clientele are middle-class people that want to become upper-class financially. So as we go through this with them, we talk about it, work on it. We're trying to get them to change their mentality. And so what I'm trying to do today with you guys is for you to see that what it took for me to do was to strip away all these negative influences in my life, strip away the cats in the cradle syndrome of being a workaholic because my dad was a workaholic, strip away the sycophant strategy of having someone who is your driver to drive you to success because you can't get anywhere without somebody who just pushes you, right? And to get back to just designing a life. And when I finally decided to design a life, everything changed almost overnight. I sat down with my daughter one time. We went skiing, and we sat at the ski slopes, just my daughter and I. No girlfriends, no side distractions. And I asked my daughter, I said, you've been with me your whole life. And by the way, I was very lucky. I got my daughter away from her mother because my daughter wanted to come live with me. She realized her mother was a lunatic, and she wanted to come live with me. And so the courts, she said, I'm going to the court to tell them I want it. If you don't do it, then, you know, I'll go to the court and dad will pay and we'll sue you away. And so the mother saw that there was no way she could fight me because I had a stable life, stable household. She didn't. She was a lunatic. And so she gave in and let the daughter come. So I got the daughter, right? So now I'm spending all my time with my daughter. It's me and my daughter. Every day. It's me and my daughter on vacations and holidays, and I taught her how to dance, and I used to take her out dancing and take her to dance lessons and then out later to bars to dance. I mean, it was like an incredibly close relationship. So she sat down with me and we said, you know what? What kind of a woman would we want in our lives that would make our family happy? And we, right there at that ski trip, we designed my life, and of course, her life as a counterpart. And the outcome to that was finding the greatest woman I've ever known in my whole life, the only one I could have lived with the rest of my life. No other woman could I live with the rest of my life. And you know, it was an interesting thing because she had come from similar relationship problems that I did. She was the workaholic. She worked, took care, made most of the money in the family. The husband had a little petty Annie job. She made majority of the money for the family, and she took care of all the kids, three kids. He refused to do anything to take care of the kids at all. All he did was he'd go to work as his puny Annie little job, come home and get drunk at night. So she was coming from the exact same thing I was coming from as far as relationships. So when we got together, we started talking, communicating. I said, boy, this is the most incredible thing in the world to actually have somebody that will run with me in life, that will actually wants to go where I want to go. And the other thing was she liked fun. The thing that really attracted me was that unlike everybody else I met, she liked and enjoyed fun. She respected work and productivity, and she's really good at what she does. But she liked fun, and her and I and my daughter started doing the most incredible life you'd ever have. We traveled everywhere together. We went out dancing together. It was just phenomenal. Holidays was incredible. It was a wonderful, wonderful life. And so being that blessed, you know, It's been my responsibility on this earth to give back as strongly as I possibly can in any way, shape I can. And so I'll tell you what happened. The more you try to give, the more people try to take you down. And people try to pigeonhole me as that rich guy. I'm not that rich guy, but I am rich. But I'm not that rich guy. Because I don't even wear a suit. I wear blue jeans. Okay? I don't dress up except for special occasions. And even then, I hate it. I'm not that rich guy. I want you to understand, I am you. I have gone through the pain you've gone through. That's why it's worth your time to listen to me. Because the only difference between you and me was I put my foot down to it and said, I'm not going to let this world continue to manipulate me. I'm going to start manipulating it. I'm going to win this battle, and I'm going to win this war. And that war is happiness in life. That's the battle, right? It's not out there to go take things away from people and be the bad guy. And what I found is that people don't even know why they hate rich people. They have no idea why they want to drag rich people down. If you talk to people, they have no idea. So I've got a poem here. I used it again because I think it's so relevant. It reads, a group of scientists placed five monkeys in a cage and in the middle a ladder with bananas on it. Every time a monkey went up the ladder, the scientists soaked the rest of the monkeys with cold water. After a while, every time a monkey went up the ladder, the other ones would beat that one up. After some time, no monkey dare go up the ladder, regardless of the temptation. Scientists then decided to substitute one of the monkeys. The first thing this new monkey did was go up the ladder. Immediately, the other monkeys beat him up. After several beatings, the new members learned not to climb the ladder, even though they never even knew why. The second monkey was substituted, and the same thing occurred. The first monkey participated in the beating for the second monkey. A third monkey was changed, and the same thing was repeated. The fourth monkey was substituted, and the beating was repeated. And finally, the fifth monkey was replaced. What was left was a group of five monkeys that, even though never have received cold water shower, continued to beat up any monkey who attempted to climb the ladder. If it was possible to ask the monkeys why they would beat up all those who attempted to go up the ladder, I bet their answer would be, I didn't know. That's just how things are done around here. Don't miss the opportunity to share this with your friends because it's probably happening to them. Conclusion, you don't follow others' behavior. Think before you follow. Now, think about this. What is this article really saying? It's really saying that when you go to your family reunion and the poor people start giving you crap about being rich or about wanting to be rich or about wanting to be financially free, about wanting to get out of your job and retire early, or if your boss gives you crap about a guy sent me an email the other day, his boss fired him because he found out he was doing real estate and that was an insult to him that he was actually making more money than his boss and his boss couldn't stand that. If you are going to go out there in the real world and people are going to find out that you're successful, you want to be successful in life, they're going to hate you. But here's the funny thing. They don't even know why they hate you. The Democrats don't even know why they hate successful people. See, in the past, it was because they took things away. It was a zero-sum gain attitude. In other words, if you have a dollar, I don't have that dollar. That's the way the Democrats see it. If you don't have a dollar, I don't have that. If you've got a dollar, I don't have that dollar. The only way I can get a dollar is taken away from you. So I'm gonna tax you. I'm going to steal from you. I'm going to rob you. I'm going to do everything I can do to get your dollar. Because I want a dollar, and you're the only one that has a dollar. I don't know how to produce a dollar. I've never produced anything in my life. I don't know how to work. I don't know how to produce. I don't know how to think. So I'm just going to take your dollar. Now, in the beginning, that's where the thinking came from. But now we've got people out there that are liberals that are financially rich and successful. And what they realize as they grew up is that because they went to liberal universities, listened to liberal media, they now sit out there and want to beat up the monkey that goes up the ladder. They don't even know why they want to beat up the monkey. They've got the banana, and they don't want anybody else to have the banana. They're rich as can be, as athletes, as movie stars, as whatever. They've got the banana, but they don't want anybody else to get the banana. Why? They don't know why. Nobody hurt them. When one financially successful person went up the ladder, it didn't hurt those financially successful people. No. What we've got now is we've got an entire class of people, an entire social economic class, an entire political class that hate the banana. They don't know why they hate the banana. They don't know why they hate everybody that goes for the banana. But by God, try to climb that ladder and watch what happens. They're going to jump all over you. And what I'm saying is, I'm the bully gorilla in the room that's going to be at the top of the ladder going, come up here and get the banana, and if they come after you, I'm going to kick their Buddha. Why? Somebody's got to be on your side for wanting to get ahead and get a banana, right? Because the hatred of the banana is irrelevant. There is no reason to hate people that want to be successful, yet they do. And this is why I work so hard at what I do, because I want you to get your banana. I want to get all those people off your back. I want you to leave them behind, sitting down there quivering and cowering like the fools they are, not willing to go after the banana and not even know why they won't go after the banana. That's what gets me mad. These fools don't even know why. They hate us. They have no idea why they hate us. But by God, they hate us for going after the banana. My friends, that's the story. Have a wonderful day. But remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.